Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Teresita Glasgow Blog Talk Radio Show with minister, author, and entrepreneur, Teresita Glasgow.
Hello, 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 everyone. How are you today? I don't know if you realize, but I missed last week. And let me just fill you in on what happened, because I had not planned to miss last week. But when I was on radio, so set up. And so I knew this week. I've been used to, and see, this is what happens when you do things on autopilot. I've been used to setting up a block shows every time, and I had set up so many that, you know, it was just reoccurring on its own, and then I find out that Blog Talk no longer does that, and apparently I had come to the end of my block of radio show sessions, and so I was with no session. And I could have just hit the button and came on, you know. But I said, well, let me reset up everything. And then I found out that that doesn't happen. I must not have the show last week and to come back in and start all over again this week with what we are working on, which is this book by Dr. Miles Monroe, The Principles and Power of Vision, Keys to Achieving Personal and Corporate Destiny. Well, I hope everyone is having a wonderful, phenomenal beginning of the year. We are in February, and I'm just going to share with you a little bit of what's going on with me right now. I am working on a book project, which is a collaboration. I think there are 12 women who've come together, and we are collaborating on a book, which, as I'm finding out, you know, when you do things with multiple people, everybody has their own schedules and different things going on, and they're all busy women, professional busy women. And so I was anticipating the book being published, but we were shooting for Mother's Day, and looks like it may be a little delayed, but the book is on the subject of resilience. And I know whenever it is fully completed and goes to the publisher and is finally released and everything, it is going to be awesome. It is going to be absolutely awesome, and it's going to be a book that you will want to definitely get a copy of. So I'm excited about working on that project. Some of the other thing that I did at the beginning, let me see, around May of last year, I had joined Toastmasters. Now, I have been involved with Toastmasters before, but this time I seriously joined a club. And I wanted to join, you know, just as a regular person, do my speeches and so on and so forth. And I really tried to better myself. It's all about improving oneself, developing oneself, and definitely for the kingdom of God, you know. But self-development is something that's very important to me. And so as I began speaking more and more and more and more, of course, I want to be better and better and better at it. So I joined Toastmasters. As a matter of fact, Dr. Willie Jolly had recommended that not only myself, but there are a bunch of us who are, they are professional public speakers. And I guess some people might say that about me. I'm seriously not on their level yet, but I am working toward it. And so I did join Toastmaster, and I joined very focused. I'm very focused in why I was joining and what I intended to accomplish by joining Toastmasters. And so because I'd been in Toastmasters before and I just went in and made speeches and things, but I never went through, you know, how you go through the different manuals that are involved. And so this time, I was, as I said, I was focused, I was strategic. I did it with determination and an idea of what I want to accomplish. And I went in there not really anticipating becoming an officer, but I got voted in as an officer. And so I am the VP of membership for that particular club. And it's been so rewarding. It's really been a and finding out all the different things that Toastmasters does and participating in the different clubs and meetings and such has actually been just an awesome experience. And so I received my my first, I guess you would say, award, which is a CC, which is a competent communicator. I have received that. I am closely approaching my competent leader status and got awarded just recognition at a last event a couple of weeks ago for accomplishing so much in such a small amount of time. And then we had an international speaking contest, and I participated in the contest. And how I did about that, because it is Toastmasters event. You know, if it was just like an open event, I'd say like, everybody come, you know, but anyway. So today, so I just want to share that with you, let you know a little bit about what's going on with me. Several of the things, well, one of the things in particular that I do has been actually not being done on a monthly basis, and that's a newsletter, and I'd like to step that up again and revisit that, as well as the blogs, blogging. And one of the things I did, I sent out a newsletter this week for Valentine's Day, and I let people know that there's a lot of different things going on, so don't feel as though I just, you know, stopped doing the newsletter. I didn't just stop. I want to be focused on what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. I want to be strategic in my planning and my execution so that I'm not wasting my time and I'm not wasting anyone else's time, and so that the materials and the information, or if it's just inspiration that I'm bringing to individuals or to people, whether it be corporation, government, whatever it may be, is something that is needed, can be used, and something that's relevant and something that will impact the lives of people. So that's why I'm taking my time and doing things the way that they should be done, or the way that I feel that they should be done. And here we are again, and this is week three of going through this book, this very powerful book by Dr. Miles Monroe, The Principles and Power of Vision, Keys to Achieving Personal and Corporate Destiny. And I'm going to start here, by asking some questions that are asked at the end of this particular chapter. Let's see which chapter this is. Overcoming Obstacles to Vision, which is chapter 3. There are some questions that come at the end of that chapter that I think will... you know, you always start growing when you get a question, because it's in questions, once you start trying to answer it, that you can move forward and build some momentum and some growth into your life. So at the header it says, action steps to fulfilling vision. And here's the first question. What do you think is your greatest obstacle to pursuing and completing your vision? And then the next question is, what steps can you take to begin overcoming that obstacle? For example, have you distinguished between your life's mission and its vision? Will you trust that your life is under God's purposes and that you are not a victim of bad luck? Will you stop blaming others for the way your life has turned out and start thanking God that He will enable you to complete His vision for your life? And you see what I mean about those questions. Those are two very, very powerful questions, because sometimes we become excusiologists. We want to make an excuse for everything that comes our way. One of the phenomena that I see in people a lot of times is they see everyone else's fault, but they don't see what they are contributing to the situation. It's always, if this one did that, or if that one did this, and I can't because they, and you know, all of those type of scenarios that one creates in their mind to excuse their own action or inaction. And so this is what he's alluding to when he asked these two very powerful questions. And so here are the principles from this chapter. Number one, three major obstacles to fulfilling vision are, number one, not understanding the nature of vision. Number two, not recognizing the cost of vision. And three, not knowing the principles of vision. And these, this is a summary of the chapter that we've just gone through. So, excuse me. Not understanding the nature of vision, not recognizing the cost of vision, and not knowing the principles of vision. Okay, moving to the next one, number two. The essential nature of vision is that it is specific. The essential nature of vision is that it is specific. Number three. Mission is a general statement of purpose, while vision is a very precise statement with a specific emphasis and definable boundary. Definable boundary. Number four, the measure of success of your vision is God's assignment to you, not what others are doing. And I'm going to repeat these as I go through, because these are very powerful thoughts. The measure of the success of your vision is God's assignment to you, not what others are doing. I'm going to pause here and interject right here. I know in my own life and in doing some of the things that I've been called to do within His season, and also on the speaking and everything, there was a point in time where I got so cloudy with what it was that God had called me to do, because my energy and my attention was everywhere. You know, when you're in social media, internet marketing, anything like that, there are a lot of experts out there. There are a lot of people doing some of the same things. And sometimes you have conversations with people and you share your thoughts and you share your intentions about where you're going, and the next thing you know, they're doing it. And so it could just be that God told them to do that as well. But if your mind gets all cloudy and you're not focused and you're watching other people to see what they're doing, you will get off task with what God called you to do. And so what he's saying here is very important. I'm going to repeat it again. The measure of the success of your vision is God's assignment to you, not what others are doing. You know, sometimes you want to speed up and God will say, slow down. And you've got your timeline all planned, you know, and he'll just come and take you right off of your timeline, because he's not concerned really with time. Okay, number five, dreaming is only the beginning of vision. Instead of wishing things would get better, we must take concrete steps to change our lives. Now, I'm going to interject here as well. As Christians, we know that we have to pray. We should pray simply out of the desire of conversation with someone who we love. And that is basically what prayer is. Now, there are all different types of prayer. But let's say for the emphasis of this and for this example, talking about basic communication between two people who love one another, which is your Father God, okay? So we should pray, but we also have to act. We also have to take, as this says, concrete steps to change our lives. We can't sit back and pray and think that God is doing something that we should be doing. There are those times when you come to the end of everything and you've exhausted everything that you can do, and there is no way that you can move forward in doing anything else. Those are what I call God moments, when you know that God is going to have to give you the information you need, the revelation you need, bring people across your path to talk to you or take you into realms of understanding that you did not have before, or just give you some basic information about, you know, where you are right now and that information that you didn't have before. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you have an opportunity to do something and you shrug it off, like, and you say to yourself, you know, if God wanted me to do that, he would do this, that, whatever, so on and so forth, so that I know to do that. No, that's not the way God is going to act on it. If he brings the opportunity to you and it's in line with the vision that he has given you, and there's nothing wrong with the individuals who are part of this particular aspect, and of course you want to be sensitive. You want to be sensitive in the spirit, and you also don't want to check your brain at the door. You want to use common sense. But if the opportunity comes and it's in line with the vision, then there may be steps that you need to take in order to fulfill that and move forward. Number six, indecisiveness is a vision killer and drains the joy out of life. And that's some of what I was talking about, vacillating. You know, should I do that? Should I not do this? You have to be able to make a decision and to move on it. And it shouldn't take a lot of time. Number seven, if you set a destination for your life while you continue to pray about your vision, God will guide you where you need to go. Amen. That's just what I was just talking about. Number eight, you were not born or created to do everything. You were meant to meet certain needs, not every need. And, you know, that's very important because, as I said before, you can get off task, off assignment, looking around at everything else. And, you know, you're not created to do everything. You are meant to meet certain needs, not every need. And then number nine, when you have several gifts and talents, focus on one or two of them and stir them up. Don't allow multiple gifts to distract you from taking specific steps toward fulfilling your vision. Number 10, you are not defined by your past or confined by external factors. Number 11, God has a definite plan and purpose for your life, in spite of what your background is or what mistakes you have made. And number 12, when God gives a gift to someone, he doesn't change his mind about it. When God gives a gift to someone, he doesn't change his mind about it. Whatever God has invested in you, he wants to see used. He wants to see that thing that he has invested in you. He wants to see that used. And so even with these principles from the last chapter that we went through, which was chapter 3, you see just by going through the summary of it, there is a lot of information even in these statements are powerful and will help you in moving toward the things that God has called you to do. If you're sidetracked, if you're don't know which way to go, you have multiple skill, talents, and abilities, then don't let, he's saying, don't get mixed up with them. Let me see, that was number nine. When you have several gifts and talents, focus on one or two of them and stir them up. Don't allow multiple gifts to distract you from taking specific steps toward fulfilling your vision. So you still have to have a plan. And, you know, you need a God-ordained plan, which means that you need to have spent specific amount of time with the Father in prayer and meditation in the Word, and also be self-aware. That is so important. And a lot of times as Christians, we have a tendency to discount ourselves we know that God told me this and God did this and God. And certainly that's important. God has to be in the forefront of it. I mean, you don't decide what you want to do and then invite God in. It's the other way around. You pray, you seek his face, and he will lead you and guide you by his spirit. The other part of that, the natural part of that, is you may already have some type of inkling, an understanding of what your gifts, your skills, and your talents are. Those things have been placed in you by God. So you don't want to discount them as unimportant because someone told you, oh, you're promoting yourself. You're promoting yourself. And when you promote yourself like that, God is not in that. You know, I don't know where type of ideas from. You're not going around telling anybody that you can save them. You're not telling anybody to get baptized in your name. You're not doing anything ultra-religious to make someone think that they must follow you and leave God on the sidelines. If God has brought certain gifts, talents, and abilities in your life, and they are there to be used for the kingdom of God, then yes, you need to promote those. What good is it for you to have all of this agenda that God has given you and the skills, talents, and abilities, as the Word says, and then you put it under a basket? You see, the Word say, you know, you don't light a candle and put it under a basket. Same thing with your skills, talents, and abilities. Don't get spooked by religious people who are telling you that you are self-promoting. You are promoting God's agenda. God has given you certain skills, talents, and abilities. And, you know, in the world that we live in now, there's a lot of noise because of just the way that we communicate nowadays, because of technology. You feel as though you're overwhelmed and bombarded sometimes because there's so much going on. And certainly there are those times that you back away from that and quiet that down so that you can get before the Lord in quietness and in peace. But then there are times that you need to jump out there in that arena so that not only other people are being seen and felt, but the power of the message that God gave you is also being seen and felt. And that's through promotion of yourself through maybe social media or what have you. Depends on what your calling is. Now we are in part two, 12 principles for fulfilling personal vision. And this is the introduction of part two. What I have been doing in this book is not reading it verbatim because I read it years ago. But what I'm doing is I'm going through there and I'm reading some of the highlights that I've highlighted in various sections and just moving swiftly through the book to try to see if we can get to the end. I don't know how long it's going to take us. Again, let me just say the name of the book is The Principles and Power of Vision, Keys to Achieving Personal and Corporate Destiny. It is by Dr. Miles Monroe. You can get it on Amazon.com. I did check to see if you know, you could get it on Amazon.com, and you can. You can purchase it on Amazon.com. Okay. Now, here's something that I have highlighted. The 12 principles for fulfilling personal vision that follow have been used by people of vision and are designed to protect, preserve, and guarantee the fulfillment of your dream. If you can capture these principles, you will move beyond survival mode. You will be an overcomer and see your vision come to pass. God has never created a failure. He designed you, sculpted you, and gave you birth to be a success. If you have failed, it is only because you are a success who went off track. Remember that you don't have to stay on the sidelines. Redemption restores to you the ability to accomplish your vision. Anyone can be successful. I have seen personally how God enables people to transform ideas into a reality that can be seen in the physical world. The problem is that few people are following the principles that lead to success. Either they don't know the principles or they have never proven them by putting them into practice. These people don't allow the principles of vision to work in their lives, and consequently, they don't experience the fulfillment of their vision. A successful person is someone who understands, submits to, and adheres to the principles that will carry him to success. The 12 principles for fulfilling personal vision will help you find your target and stay on course. These principles are neither personal nor private. They may be clearly discerned from the scriptures and the lives of accomplished visionaries, and they are historically proven. Jesus himself had to use each one of these principles to be successful in his work of redemption. You cannot avoid them or ignore them. If you don't go through them, you will have little chance of achieving your life's vision. If you are careful to put them into practice, however, you will have good success. Principle number one, be directed by a clear vision. Principle number one is be directed by a clear vision. And I'm only reading through what I have highlighted. This vision must be absolutely clear to you, because otherwise you will have nothing to aim at and you will achieve nothing. A clear guiding purpose will keep you from being distracted by non-essentials. I discovered then that the key to life is not only knowing what you are, but also why you are. It is important to know why you were born than to know the fact that you were born. If you don't know your reason for existence, you will begin to experiment with life, and that is dangerous. Well, we're coming up at the end of the show, and we are reading from this very wonderful book, The Principles and Power of Vision, Keys to Achieving Personal and Corporate Destiny by Dr. Miles Monroe. You can get a copy of this book on Amazon.com. I did look it up because we were going through the book, and so I verified, absolutely, it can still be purchased on Amazon.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and tune in again next week for a continuation of this particular reading that we're doing on this book. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Teresita Glasgow Blog Talk Radio Show. Teresita Glasgow is the founder of In His Season Incorporated, a Christian corporation whose mission is to motivate, stimulate, and encourage individuals to reach beyond their limitations to their God-given possibilities. Visit us online at inhisseason.com for more information on Teresita Glasgow, In His Season Incorporated, or to get your copy of her books, Destiny, 7 Steps to Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life, and How to Start a Business on a Shoestring Budget. Be your own boss now. Now available for download on Amazon Kindle. Visit Amazon.com for your copy today. You can also download a copy of this show as well as archived shows. Just visit blogtalkradio.com/Teresita Glasgow or iTunes.com to subscribe. Check out Teresita's blog, Salt and Light, for daily inspiration and free information designed to enhance your business and your life. Be sure to follow Teresita on Twitter and like her on Facebook. Thank you for listening. And join us again next time for more of the Teresita Glasgow Blog Talk Radio Show.